waited all week to say Friday. Wendy B here. It's Friday.
I don't think you could have gotten away with that any of the other days of the week. I don't think you could have that kind of a tropical sound on a Tuesday. Try that and
right
see what
now.
Happens.
All week I've been a day off.
Do a dry run, Wendy. Pretend it's Tuesday and give me that thing. Just say that. So just how would that
Tuesday.
Sound?
Tuesday.
No.
No, it works on a Friday,
you
though.
You could only pull that off, that kookaburra sound, on a Friday.
Wait, let's listen to Ema Sumac.
Let's
hang on, leave
her.
This up. This is my favorite part.
Wow.
Bump, bump.
She... Yeah, do it that way.
See, isn't it fun? Now I see what Cardi B was all about. Lambada!
I think Cardi B was just taking Jetson sound effects and throwing them in music. That was the sound that Elroy would make when he was on his space pack.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you wish your backpack would take you to school like
that?
Yeah,
I couldn't pull that off. Elroy Jetson had it going on.
I'm thinking of a young Bill Leff, and I'm smiling because I know the old Bill Leff.
Well, the young Bill Leff and the old Bill Leff are pretty much the same.
Yeah,
There's almost no difference whatsoever.
But please tell me, I know you weren't excited to get back to school, and school
Not
starts on the 20th, so we're 10 days away from most kids going back to school.
Look at me. I know I'm not going back to school, but I still get a little jittery. Like, ugh, school already?
Wasn't it fun getting a new backpack, though?
Nope. Mm-mm.
You had no fun in preparing to go back to school?
I loved school, but...
You loved summer more.
Summer so much more. And also, if my school said, we're going to try a new option, you start at noon and you go till 6, I'd go, all right, sign me up for that. I would like that. But school starting at 9... Oh, no.
Bill, I have two teenage boys. Their high school starts at 7:45.
Oh.
There have been studies 7:45 everywhere.
7:45 in the morning.
So you have to leave the house by...
You have to get up at 5:15 or 5:20?
No, Dylan rolls out of bed at 7:15. We're car at 7:30. And he's late and I always feel bad. Michael has graduated from high school and he's picked his own college classes. And at College of DuPage, you can do that where Michael doesn't go to school on Fridays. He goes Monday through Thursday. You can pick your schedule, but you're at the mercy of the school in high school. And I know they've bandied the idea about, where school time would be moved later. And that was talked about for
a
while.
A good idea.
And I think some schools did it.
Yeah.
And to no avail. I mean, it is so hard for a teenager. I'm not even going to say boys. It's hard for a teenager. I'm thinking back to when I went to school.
Yeah.
I hated getting up in the morning.
It's too much.
It is so hard for a teenager to get out of bed.
I would have been a Rhodes Scholar if my school started at noon every day. I would have been the smartest boy in the land. I just couldn't. I couldn't process stuff.
Yeah.
That first class and sometimes two classes for me, I got almost straight A's through school, but like any time I did get a grade that was a little on the downer side, it was my first class or second class.
What, an A minus?
I had a couple of B's. Actually, there was a couple of years where I had all A's except for biology class, science class. I was floating by with like a D plus or a C minus.
Really?
I was horrible in science, just awful. And that, because science is logic, really. You go, well, how... It just didn't work for me. Something about science. Couldn't dissect animals. I would always miss those days. I didn't want to be cutting into an animal.
It was pretty cool.
Ooh.
And you know I love animals, but it was still in the face of science that I did it. It was pretty exciting. The frog.
Is it formaldehyde that they pack
it
in?
Yeah, that smells terrible.
There are still days, and there's not a fetal pig anywhere near me, Wendy, and I can still smell that smell. I'll look around. I'll go, does somebody have a fetal pig on them? No, why? Because I smell that smell.
I love science.
Oh.
And then I didn't get a great grade in science, but I truly enjoyed it.
You were good at it, though?
Yeah. And my older son, Michael, took Latin, and he didn't get a great grade in it, but his enthusiasm, he was in the Latin club. He loved it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in a weird way, you have to determine, he learned stuff, so technically that's okay. Grades are sometimes invalid, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah?
There are things... I mean, I learned so much in science in high school, but...
Your grades didn't show that.
Not really, but now I love science.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I'm not saying you should do away with grades. Although I had read that, is it Chicago State University that has done away with, sorry, Steve Bertrand just talked into my ears. Oh. He was whispering sweet nothings. So oh. Wasn't that sweet? I think it was Chicago accurate judge of what you, some people don't test well, but yet are geniuses.
How will they decide who is allowed in then?
I know. Let me look
an
that
interview
up.
Interview process?
It was the University of Chicago.
University of Chicago. That was just in the news.
And what's their criteria then for either accepting or not accepting you?
Grades, clubs, and I almost feel, and I wonder rather, if other schools are going to jump on this bandwagon too.
That school is known for having a very high genius quotient. You know, they're always producing some of the best thinkers of our generation.
Yeah, their typical scores are 32 to 35 for the ACT.
That's amazing. That's typical scores. Wow.
Yes, University of Chicago to stop requiring ACT and SAT scores for prospective undergrads. Hmm. For years, this was this past June, so this is pretty fresh.
Yeah.
For years, a debate has simmered at the nation's university and colleges over how much weight should be given to standardized tests as officials consider students for admission. And a growing number, including DePaul, have opted to stop requiring the SAT and ACT in their admissions process, saying the tests place an unfair cost and burden on low-income and minority students and ultimately hinder efforts to broaden diversity on campus.
I like it. I have to say I like it.
I do, too. And there is a cost for it. Like, Dylan's a sophomore, so he'll be taking the PSAT, which is like the practice mm-hmm. SAT, mm-hmm. and there's no fee for it. But next year, junior year, is when it's not a lot, it might be $45, but there are some families, and there is a cost for it. Like, Dylan's a sophomore, so he'll be taking the PSAT, which is like the practice mm-hmm. SAT, mm-hmm. and there's no fee for it. But next year, junior year, is when it's not a lot, it might be $45, but there are some families that if you have a couple kids in school,
it adds up.
It totally adds up. You had twins. That would have been double that.
Yeah. And we hired coaches. Yeah, we did do that. And
did they do great?
Yeah, they both. Reese did a little better than Kylie. Here's the thing that shocked me about that. I assumed when we were hiring coaches, they were going to drill them with information that would probably be on the tests, you know? Like, let's say you were going to be on Jeopardy. You'd quiz you'd go through state capitals and, you know, who fought on what side in which war and that kind of thing. But they don't go through specifics. They go through the process of what you can do to help yourself in just taking tests. Not specifics, but just how to focus on the things you know and get those done quickly, and then on the things you don't know, save those for last so you can ponder them more. Like, stuff that I guess is kind of basic interest, basic knowledge stuff.
Didn't we know that? You kind of, because they say to always go with your gut, and 9 out of 10 times you have an answer in your head and you go with it, and then you overthink it and you change it.
Yeah.
And typically it's the one that you put first.
It was a lot of that kind of stuff, you know, and I guess
I could have coached him.
We should have got you to coach.
Much
I didn't
cheaper.
Even think to ask.
That was expensive, wasn't it?
I don't remember how much it was, but it was expensive. But then you say to yourself, if it means a slightly better grade and that means a slightly better school, I guess that's worth it, I guess. I've been told it is. I don't know.
See, I don't know. Michael did very well on his ACT and did not get much of a reward scholarship for that. Mm-hmm. He got into the school he wanted ultimately, but then it's like you think with a really great ACT score, they're going to give you a full-blown scholarship. That's not necessarily the case anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So then with Dylan now, who's going to be taking it, I'm going to say do your best, but I'm not going to be all freaked out about
it. Right.
Like, Michael did pretty well, but it wasn't perfect, and I was going to make him retake it. And everybody's like, what? I said, well, you know, he could do better.
Yeah.
By a couple points.
Now, if I remember this right, because Kylie took it twice, recently took it once, I think you're allowed to take your best scores. You know how it's divided up into sections? I think you can retain, like, let's say in the first section you did really well at math and literature, but not in the other ones, that you can put a freeze on those scores.
Really? That seems like a good way to do it. I thought it was just you take your best composite.
That's what I thought it was, too, but I guess not.
Jasmine, do you know you were closer to school age things? I think she's out studying for her. She didn't quit.
Yeah, she did. I saw her put her badge down on the desk.
All right. So University of Chicago no longer requiring applicants for the undergraduate college to submit standardized test scores. It will still allow applicants to submit them.
Oh.
But university officials said they would let prospective undergraduates send transcripts on their own and submit video introductions and non-traditional materials to supplement their applications. That's something when we talk to Lisa Heffernan from Grown and Flown, one of my favorite websites, we're going to talk to her, I think, next week. She said that the whole application process of going to college is much different now, where you can make a video and send it.
Yeah.
Michael was unable to do it. They didn't allow any of that. They didn't tell you how to do it. They just wanted test scores and essays. That was it.
One of the, I wish I could remember which school it was. One of the schools that one of my daughters applied to, their main thing was the interview, that when you went in and they saw you face to face and they asked you questions and you gave them answers, that was their main criteria for who they accepted. And then I thought to myself, I kind of think that's how it should be.
I kind of think. And Michael didn't go there in person. There was, I mean, you could have.
Yeah.
He auditioned for the School of Music, so there were live auditions, or you could send a video, and it was in Tennessee, so we opted for that.
Right.
And there was, but to get accepted to the college, I almost expected there to be an interview before they make their decision.
Right.
It's so weird now. I don't think they base it on scores or anything. I think, and you mentioned this, I'll never forget this as long as I live. A friend of yours, and I'll let you tell the story, but perfect ACT and straight A's.
Perfect score.
And couldn't get in the school she wanted.
This is my accountant's daughter who lives on the North Shore and applied to two schools. One was Northwestern, one was Notre Dame. She's active in so many different groups at school.
Everything you're supposed to be for an applicant, right?
Everything. She's in clubs. She's in sports. She's just does. Honestly, I don't know how you're a more well-rounded kid than this kid is. And then on top of that, got a perfect score on her ACT, which in my head, you go, that's your ticket. Once you get a perfect score on your ACT,
you can go anywhere you want.
What school wouldn't want you?
Scholarship Central.
Got rejected from Northwestern, got rejected from Notre Dame.
And the reason? They don't want people from our area.
The way it was worded at Northwestern was they were looking for more diversity. Now, there's been other kids who live, I live 6 minutes away from Northwestern, and my daughters have friends that are in the neighborhood that got accepted to Northwestern. So I don't know what they're talking about when they say we're looking for more diversity, but I don't. If I'm that kid, you throw your arms up way up in the air and go, what do I have to do? There's only two schools I want to go to. I did all this. I achieved all this, and I still can't get in.
And from that, I learned why bother.
Why bother? I'm not kidding. No, it's
so
true.
Really, since you shared that story, I mean, yeah, I want my kids to do well, but me saying do well is not going to make them do any better.
It just shows that there are certain things that are so out of your control, and that's one of them. Because I really, the whole time I was even thinking about college from sixth grade on through high school, I thought, boy, that ACT is really important. And if I got a perfect score, it's impossible. But what if I did? The sky's the limit. Nope.
It's just, it doesn't seem right.
I don't get it at all.
It's all a crapshoot.
And my accountant wasn't furious, but he goes, it's a head scratcher. And I go, no, it's more than a head scratcher. I would go in there and I go, just in person, could you just explain this to me?
Cause what knocked her out of the running? That's what I would want to know from her. Jill has called us, 312-235-2525. That is the secret clubhouse number for the stream. Hi, Jill. How are you?
Hi. Love you guys. Nice. I have to tell you, I can really speak to this whole SAT thing. And if you do have someone who's doing really well in one of the two disciplines, but lousy in the third and the fourth, they really do need to take it again. I had my older one, he took it twice. Fine. He got into Purdue. No problem. The younger one, we were looking for a scholarship. And he did get a scholarship. But it wasn't the math and the science. He got two wrong in the math and three wrong in the science. However, the grammar, not so great. Mm. We would spend all time trying to tell him how analogies work.
Mm-hmm.
It was just ridiculous.
Some kids just don't grasp it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing you can
do. Everyone learns differently.
That's very true. But I also didn't feel he was applying himself.
Wow.
So we live outside of Crown Point, and the last opportunity he had to take was in Rensselaer, Indiana, where the, you know, the Bears used to have training camp down there?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so it's maybe 40, 45-minute, 50-minute drive. And, you know, I told him, you're going to have to take this because I want to see this bump this up just a couple more notches. I want you to show me that you're college material and that you can buckle down. If you think this is hard, dude, you wait till you actually get into the engineering discipline that you want to do. And you know what? When we said that to him and served up the challenge that way, he accepted it. Because we told him, if you really are going to do well in this, you're going to have to interact with people. And you got to stop using words like bested.
Good advice. Very good advice. And how's he doing today? Is he all right?
You know, he went off to Purdue University, where his older brother also went, and is a chemical engineer. He graduated first in his class in chemical engineering, married a chemical engineer, gave birth to a potential chemical engineer, his wife did, and then a couple weeks ago, two potential chemical engineer twins were born.
Oh, so, that's nice. Great.
They had good chemistry together.
Yes.
Bill gets the prize. I'm going to give you a Lou Malnati's, Bill.
I'm the official science comic.
Bill Nye, the science guy, is worried.
That's me. Well, I'm glad. That's all such great news, Jill. That's wonderful.
But, yeah, you just got to encourage and you got to find a way to make them understand that all of these things that they're teaching you in that SAT are important for different reasons.
Of course. Yeah, we know that because we're seasoned professionals.
That's right, and you don't say the word bested.
No, you're not supposed to say bested. Very solid.
Have a great weekend, Jill.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Well, it worked out for Jill and her sons, but seriously, I thought a good ACT would mean a good scholarship.
Yeah, it should. Yeah.
I mean, what else are you looking for?
I don't know. It's very unpredictable. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news. I believe Judy Pilak is in, right?
It's a mystery now.
We don't know. We'll see who's going to give you the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
The forecast from the WGN Weather Center forecast. Weather Center, I should say. That is the forecast, I guess.
I should say. I'm having a glass of wine.
I'm a little bit dizzy today. Partly sunny, warm, humid, high in the mid-80s.
Do it like Sean Connery. I want to hear Sean Connery say.
Around 80 at the lakefront. Clear tonight. Low around 70, and I think I saw your wife last night.
I only know the Sean Connery from Saturday Night Live. It's the only Sean I do.
That was the craziest impression of all time, Judy.
That was awesome because no coaxing. You just went right into Sean Connery.
And
I saw your wife last. She throws in a 10-year-old boy slam.
Wow. You need your own special on HBO.
I'm dizzy, and I think I might be having a stroke.
Yeah, that's possible. Right, that would explain a lot.
Sunny tomorrow and Sunday, or sunny tomorrow and Sunday. High both days in the upper 80s, but cooler at the lake. Just want to make
that's
Wendy laugh.
That's fantastic.
Those are the headlines.
I'm Judy Sean Pilot. Connery.
Now I sound like Wendy. I'm Sean Connery.
That's just
I'm
so
Judy
fun.
Connery.
You did say that you and I have been experiencing a little just quick dizziness spells.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
How long has this been going on?
Today.
Just today
me.
Only.
It's been about the last course of the last 3 or 4 days. Oh. Just every once in a while, like, I'll turn quickly or something, and I'll just be like, whoa, I got to sit down for a second.
Yeah, I've had this before.
Oh.
For an extended period of time?
Mm, yeah, like.
What was it last time? What was the end result?
It just it comes and goes.
Yeah?
It's weird. But you know, what's the thing thing you have when you get up really quick and
vertigo. Yeah,
I have had severe vertigo in the past. Yeah, out of nowhere again. But this is weird, and that's what I'm always worried about. But which is kind of what you're describing.
This is scary to me, Wendy, because Judy drives me home in a helicopter
yeah,
after every
so
show.
I'm
very nervous right
and
now.
The mountains here.
Yeah,
get, you know they. Yeah.
But you mentioned something off the air. You may be dehydrated, and it's weird because the first thing I thought of is, you know what? I don't drink enough water. I made a New Year's resolution to drink, you're supposed to have what, like 8 cups a day?
I think 10. Isn't
it's
it 10?
It's an abundance of water.
Yeah, it's a lot of ounces.
And
I know that.
I made a New Year's resolution the time we stopped getting water at the Tribune Tower, yeah, where it was like, Bill, spit in my mouth. I need some water. There was no water to be had. And now I'm trying to drink two glasses a day because it's amazing what happens to your body when you don't have enough hydration, and none of us do. You never drink water throughout the day.
I don't drink it during the show, but when I play tennis, I fill up two.
That's when you're playing tennis, but
yeah,
you're supposed
but just
to.
Normally, I don't. I really don't.
I don't either.
You know, my issue is I don't like really cold water.
Oh, you
don't?
Love
no,
it.
I like
ice cold.
So I like room temperature. See, I hate it. So, but I always have room temperature water, and it is amazing. I will grab a water bottle at home and drink the entire thing.
Yeah, I get it.
Boom. And that's, that. Yeah.
And you don't even think you're thirsty when you do it.
Right. It tastes so good, and I could tell I need it. So, yeah, I got to go find
a water
bottle.
But room temperature, not cold. I wonder
room
why.
Room temperature only. I don't know. Cold, it's, I can't drink it fast.
Shock your system?
Yeah.
Well, it's good for your voice, like if you're singing or performing or going on the
radio.
You're
doing a Sean Connery impression.
You're not supposed to have ice cold water.
Oh, it's supposed to be room temperature.
Yeah, it's supposed to be room temperature. My husband, Jim, had this thing that he did when I was pregnant. Like, I think with Michael, by Dylan, he got over this. But it's like, oh, I'm having those Braxton Hicks contractions, which are just kind of preparing you for real contractions.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean the baby's coming. And Jim's always go-to thing was, can I get you some water?
Oh.
And he just didn't know what to do. So to this day, like, you know, honey, I think I sprained my ankle. Can I get you some water? And seriously, I should take him up on it and drink more water.
Yes, thank you. Please. Yeah, exactly.
Water, we need it. And
he'd make a terrible paramedic.
Oh, he's terrible. But, I mean, he cares. He just doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, water is always good.
Right. But if you get hit by a bus,
right.
Can I get you some water?
If they actually need some pressure on the gunshot wound, water might not.
No, maybe not.
Yeah. Here's another thing I learned at the safety
seminar.
Yes. I want to say symposium. I don't know why.
You could call that. Yeah.
If someone is bleeding, you know, what do you do? Everybody yelled, put pressure. And, you know, obviously you would like something. We had a safety seminar yesterday for those of you just joining us. And what to do in case of a fire, an injury, an active shooter, just things we need to know that I never really thought of before. I got to be honest with you. But so apply.
That's not life now.
Yeah, I know. Things have changed. We got to be prepared. I mean, you got to take care of yourself, which they did focus on that. It's like, yes, you can help other people. And, you know, we have security and people to help you. But the bottom line is you got to help yourself. That really was the main thing. And
unless you decide to fight the shooter and then you have to band together and work together.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
But so you apply. What do you do if someone's bleeding really badly? People yelled out, apply pressure. And it's like he says, yes, that's what you do. And you just press real tight. Obviously, if you have something sterile, that would be great. But if not, like a shirt or a towel or something. And then he said, what if they bleed through the first towel? What do you do? And everybody else get another towel. And he said, yes, but don't take that one off.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that.
That's a good point.
Did you know that?
Nope.
I did not know that.
Thank you for being honest. Because I thought for sure you were going to say, of course I knew that.
I didn't know that. But is it because the I'm trying to think of how the...
You will disturb the wound again.
Maybe
by
it's already
the towel off.
Yeah, maybe it's already clotting.
Exactly.
You know, and then you just, even though it's bleeding through, some of it's at least... closing up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
right,
I learned so much.
Yeah, me too. He was really good.
Yeah.
It was great.
She begged him to come back. There's more I need to know.
You know what? I think I've seen him before. I don't know where, but
really?
I don't ever remember having safety training at the Tribune.
I was just going to ask you, you were there how many years?
Yep. 30.
And you never had training once?
Not that I can remember.
How long were you there?
Seven.
And I've been there like three and a half.
We were nothing. For most of my 30 years, we were on the first floor.
Yeah.
Let me still need training. I will take it back. We had the only training I remember was when we had to leave the building. Today is a day when we're going to have a fire drill. They didn't call it that, but yeah. And again, first floor, we would leave and walk. We had a spot we had to go to. I, of course, being in the newsroom, never, ever did it.
Oh.
No, never.
Because you knew it was a drill.
No, because I couldn't do it. I was anchoring or something, and I couldn't leave. So I was aware of it happening, but I never even knew where that
spot was.
But if
they do the drill during the hours of our show between 10 and 1, we'll be told
not to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never went to any of those there. But that was the only thing we had. We didn't have this kind of thing where we went to a room and had someone talk to us for a good hour and a half. About what, like you said, what to do.
Well, active shooter wasn't part of the vocabulary many years ago. Yeah.
And being on the first floor, the fire threat for us was a little bit different. We could walk out.
We knew you could get out in 10 seconds.
We didn't have to know where the stairwell was or anything. We had we knew where the doors were to get out.
Yeah. It was easy. That was the first building downtown that I worked in that I really wasn't scared about.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think about fires all the time, but, we flat out asked if a ladder could reach the 18th floor, and they said no. Absolutely not.
Only like the 8th or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
And then I went home and shared some of this information with my kids because they both go to school. And it was astounding to me that the active shooters don't happen very often. But when they do, the majority was businesses, then schools, then public venues. And so I was explaining some of the things about the active shooter training that we got. And Dylan's in high school and he said, that's more information than we get. And so now it's like I want to know what they're told. It's, you want to turn the lights off and hide.
In that case, I'm going to assume here, and it better be true, that the teacher is the one who's getting all that. And because,
and will guide them.
It will guide them.
And just doesn't want to scare them.
Exactly.
And that's perfect.
That person's going to lock the door. I mean, you're not going to have a kid be in charge of that.
Yeah, I guess that's
true.
But
I mean, more information is always good to me. Why not tell them what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Judy, I felt so comforted knowing that this building is made out of a material that isn't necessarily flammable. And then I felt even better thinking about the way our offices are configured because they're all made of glass. So if there is an active shooter, he'll be able to see exactly who is
now,
where.
Now, interesting you say that because I asked our engineering staff about the glass. And they said it is...
Is it bulletproof?
Nothing's bulletproof-ish.
Bullet resistant?
It is resistant. It's because of the sound. Because we have to have a very, tight room for our
in the studio, but all the offices have glass sliding doors.
Oh, yeah, no, you're going to be killed.
And here's the thing, Bill, that's so weird you said that, because while it looks amazingly cool and modernistic and clean.
Yes.
When he mentioned you want to close and lock your door and barricade it, and I almost raised my hand and said, what do you do if it's a sliding glass door?
Yeah.
Because there's
that
no way.
You can see through.
Yes.
It's not like you have a curtain on it either. So
I'm getting a curtain.
The only good thing is the security is so tight here in the building.
Yeah. So we're fine.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was still good to know this stuff. Another thing that I brought up earlier on the regular show, that if you could resemble the perpetrator. So if a police officer comes up and handcuffs you and questions you, don't fight it and run because they're going to really think you're the perpetrator
and
then.
Put your hands up.
So, so just let them cuff you and then you can
Dana
straighten
Carvey
it out.
If ever shoots up this building, I'm in serious
trouble.
Let me
remind you, in the last shooting in Florida, the suspect got away by walking with all the victims.
Yep. Yeah.
Walked right away. That's
a movie plot.
It's amazing. It's almost like you learn something new every time.
Right.
But we do, and that's why things change, and that's why I believe if you are in a high rise, and bosses, if you're listening, have a safety seminar for your employees, because we all need to know this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was the glass, as he's talking about, hiding in your office, I'm like, we got a glass. It's all glass.
Yeah.
That's why I have a John Williams mask in my drawer. I quickly throw that on. Nobody would want
to
shoot at John.
Yeah, you might be shot first. You better rethink that.
Maybe.
Yes,
you
got to find
the Thomas Jefferson mask. We've got a whole show prepared.
Well, I mean, think about it, though. The first thing he said was run.
Yes.
If you can, run.
But running is good if you know where exactly the safety zone is. What if wherever you're running to is the worst possible place you could be running to?
But say someone comes in the studio door right now, there's nowhere to run. So at that point, you can't hide. He sees three of us.
Yeah.
So what do you do? So, he's told you. I thought those were really good
points. Yeah, you take them.
I forgot my sock.
The key is you want to knock him unconscious or restrain him. And when I heard the knock him unconscious part, I kind of got a little... queasy in my stomach because it got too real for me hearing that. I know I'd do it, and obviously you're trying to save your own life and that of your coworkers, but it just got so real when I heard, you know, you need to keep hitting him until he's unconscious. It's like, oh, God, no one ever told me to do that before.
Yep.
It just was weird. But it's way better to be prepared.
Yeah. You got to get past it. I know. I feel like it's sad. It's very sad to me that my kids have to know about this.
I know.
But yeah, get past it and then be prepared.
I'm already past it. Now I want to become the warden of this floor. I don't know.
I think we've discussed that I'm the warden.
No, you have revealed to us that you're not good in emergency situations.
Well, with my kids.
Can I get you a vine?
Here's the thing, though. I like to think I'm very aware. Like, I think people are not aware enough.
Like, there's something
and I've
to that.
Always been, I'm always looking around, noticing, and that's really the best thing you can do.
Right.
And not to mention, be aware of changes in people as well, that you even know. You know, you just have to, I mean, you can't be one of those people anymore who's, well, you know, it's not my problem, or, you know, hope he gets past that. No.
You see
not
something,
anymore. And yeah.
Do you keep files on the people that
maybe.
You should? You
possibly,
should keep files.
Yeah.
Bill and Bertrand have made fun of me on numerous occasions because I saw a suspicious package in LaGrange. It was a backpack with wires sticking out of it making a buzzing noise. So it was during Pet Parade weekend. Of course I told someone.
Are you kidding me?
It was the surveyors that were there doing work, but I did not. Even
you should have got a medal for that.
Even my husband says.
Metal detector.
Wend, you're really going to go because there was a police. I said,
heck,
damn right. And then Goofy Jim goes over there with the dog. What is this? I'm like, get away. It's buzzing.
It's ticking. That's not
so
good.
That is
Bill
crazy.
And Bertrand make fun of me like, you see something, say something. You know what? I don't care.
Bill and Bertrand will be the first ones to go. Just so you know. Because you are aware and they are
I
not.
Am totally
aware.
We are
aware. Junior G-men, just so you know.
You are not.
Steve
you're juniors.
Bertrand. That's what I meant.
Good luck
what
with
did
that
I say?
Look.
Junior G-men? I meant juniors.
I just, you know, I'm aware of my surroundings.
Yes.
I'm not going to say it's a guy-girl thing, although I've noticed maybe with the guys in my family. You know, like if we were swimming at the beach and one of my sons, like, ran into someone, I'm like, look behind you. Like, I'm always aware of my surroundings. I know that there's a family here, so I'm not going to run into them. Don't you, aren't you aware of everything that's going on?
No, people have their earbuds in, they're listening
not
to music,
me.
They're thinking about their, not, let me tell you, when I came up to work today up the stairs here, I'm coming up. There was a woman carrying a baby with a huge stroller trying to get it down the stairs, and then she had two kids behind her. Well, I walked past her, and I'm like,
no one
she's
going to
fall.
There were two men behind her in workout clothes with the ear, and they were like waiting, you know. She was going really slow.
Not even
I'm like, are you
help.
Kidding me? I got up to the top. I turned around because I'm like, all right, I got to go back. And then a guy who was behind me, also in workout clothes, and what a great guy you are. Let me give a shout out to you. Mm-hmm. Said, oh my God, do you need help with that? And of course she was like, thank you. And he took it and went back down the stairs. He was coming up,
very
you know.
Nice.
But and then of course a crowd of people were by me because I was staring. Yeah. Like and I was holding everyone up. But I was like, oh sorry, you know, I wanted to make sure. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I should have immediately, like you said, turned around and done it. But my point being, what is wrong? I think
I
the guys behind her, it didn't occur to them.
Right.
How
they weren't being mean.
No,
it just
didn't occur to them. And that to me, I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, even if you don't want to do it, fine, but that wasn't what I thought it was. They were just like, do-do-do-do-do.
Hurry
waiting,
up, lady.
Waiting. Exactly. Like,
here's an idea. Help her, and then you can give about
exactly.
your business.
But I feel like people aren't in that mode.
Right.
I mean, that's like the most basic thing. You know, you've got to be like willing to help people and do stuff like that first before you can get onto that next level of now I'm going to look around and watch out for people.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Right? We have
everybody's
to all.
Changed.
We're all in this together.
Yeah, it should be that.
You know
way.
Why? We're all human. Pretty
well,
much.
Most of us.
Judy for president.
Judy for president. Judy 20.
She wishes.
46. I've always loved
she
that
she wishes
number.
Again.
I am so not helping you in an emergency.
But I think we could have two wardens. I really...
yes, we. You know, we could have 10 wardens.
You guys
wardens.
Would be co-wardens?
Everyone should be a warden.
Yeah. All right.
Can you imagine that?
I'll play by those rules.
The arguments, the leaving people behind. And I thought it was interesting, too, when they said when people were injured, you know...
Leave them for dead.
Well, but you got to get out.
Yeah.
The main thing, because they said the police aren't even going to walk over them. Don't get mad.
Yeah, but they said the police. SWAT teams, yes. SWAT guys will come in and walk over the bodies. And I'm like, oh,
even
this
police,
is too graphic.
I know. But I'm like, but
their mission, everybody has a role. And the first arrival, they arrive, they're going
to
step over the injured and dead bodies. Yeah. And they are going to apprehend the suspect.
They shoot her right.
And then once they've cleared the scene, that's when the emergency personnel come in. I swear to God, I want to hire this man to just talk to me every day.
He's a retired Chicago firefighter.
And EMT paramedic. And he teaches conceal and carry and gun handling. I mean, he was a jack of all trades.
Mark Nielsen is his name.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
And he said he retired, and after about 2 weeks, his wife said, go get a job. So then he's like this security consultant.
He kept telling her little facts about things. It was driving her nuts.
When wasn't he? We thought he was kind of dissing his wife a little bit too much there.
He took a shot or two at her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what guys do.
I know.
That's what they're aware of.
The way he's getting back, because she made him go back to work, so obviously.
But he could be your life coach.
You know what? He totally could be, because he gave me the strength and enthusiasm to start each day.
Yeah.
Wow.
He did.
Yep.
Just these are things. I know. I'm kind of exaggerating.
Wendy's white noise machine is just him talking about escape routes. That's what she goes to sleep to.
He did have a soothing voice.
Very soothing.
But it's just things that, honestly, common sense should tell you.
You need to hear it.
Faced by that situation, it's nice to know what you should do, and then maybe what you're going to do are two different things.
But don't you think that in an absolute disaster type emergency, there are certain people that can handle it a certain way, and then there's other people that would just crumble and fall apart.
But
you don't know until it happens.
Right? Aren't you surprised? And it's not usually a disaster, but sometimes times of quasi emergencies, I'm sometimes shocked at what I like. That's the guy
right.
I think that's going to do it, and yeah, he's the one who starts crying.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So you're
and
right.
You all think that I would crumble and cry and not do anything.
No, I don't think that. Do you think that, Jude?
I think you'd be fine. Tough ass.
Yeah.
I think you'd be.
It's weird because
you're like
again,
Lara Croft.
But see, there again, I think you're tough, so maybe you would crumble. I don't know.
It just depends.
That.
I always put the other person first, unless it's Bill.
Yep.
I do. I really do care more about people sometimes than I do my own self. And that's a mindset I need to change in this new day and age. You got to look out for yourself. I'm not saying step over people or push people out of your way. But, you know, if you see someone who's looks like they're terribly wounded and you have a shot to run out a door, you gotta go out the door, don't you?
I guess.
That's what they
see. That's when the decision comes in,
right?
And that's when you find out who you are.
If someone twists their ankle, yes, you don't leave them for dead.
Out of my way, Eric Rung. I need to get out of the building immediately. Out of my way.
But if you see someone who has like a terrible head wound who looks like...
I mean, if it's, you can't drag someone out. That's going to really hamper your escape. So,
right.
It just gave me a new way of thinking in this terrible era that you have to... And I'm not a very selfish person, but he really pointed out, rely on the professionals. But bottom line is you got to do this for yourself.
See, I didn't really get that part as much.
I took pictures of the slideshow.
I know you're laughing at me. I didn't get that just.
See, you laugh at me, but this
what
really...
did you do with... Did you review those pictures then last night? What did you do with those pictures?
Yeah, I was just telling my kids, act as aggressively as possible against the active shooter, throw items and use improvised weapons, work together to stop the shooter.
I love that part.
And commit to your actions.
This is the difference between Wendy and me. She took pictures. I said, am I going to need to know this for the final exam? Because if not...
Hey, I saw people during the entire session on their phone.
Yeah.
Playing games.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're going to die in fire.
Right.
Because it was mandatory to go. But I'm like, really? At some point, start to say to yourself, whoa, these are really good. This is good advice I'm hearing. No. People had their
phone. The flight
their head
I was
down on
to New York, as they're giving the explanation of all the exits and stuff, when the lady was done giving the explanation of where all the exits were, she said, for those of you paying attention, we really appreciate it. For those of you who didn't, good luck. But that was great.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
And this one thing
I always pay attention
that is obvious. It's so obvious that I am surprised that I went, oh, yeah. he went on to say, you know, if you're hiding in a closet or something, there's an active shooter and you hear voices telling you to emerge like, hey, come out, it's okay. Don't do it unless, like, I recognize your voice or something. And, I mean, really, at the moment, you'd be like, oh, God, it's the coast is clear. So how many people would fall for that? I mean, God, we fall for emails that want our credit card numbers. These are obvious things that I've never been in the position to have to think about. So I thought this was very useful.
Yes.
I'll help protect you, Bill.
I hope you. I need somebody.
Yeah,
to.
He needs protection.
I definitely
do. Do you want us to start now?
Yes.
All right.
I have a vest at home already that I purchased on Amazon. Well, it hasn't been delivered yet.
Oh, my gosh.
Yet.
I have one in my car.
Yeah. So, let's wear those on Monday. Everybody wear those.
All right. Yeah.
Vests, all right. Judy, thanks for hanging
out. Absolutely.
Happy weekend.
Happy weekend to you and yours. We'll take a quick break and close up ship. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Or if you want to substitute another word for that, feel free. It's Bill and Wendy at WGN.
Are we closing up ship?
Ahoy there, mate. Wendy, the ship is being closed. If you were thinking about riding on the ship, you have to wait till Monday when the ship will reopen at 10 a.m.
I was born on a pirate ship.
Say that holding your tongue. Watch this.
I was born on a pirate. I'm not falling
for you. So close.
Mm-hmm. You'll get me next time, probably.
Everybody, thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it. More adventures on Monday. Tune in then. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.